In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. Now, I want to talk to you about walking worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. You that have watched the broadcast know that for several weeks that I've been talking about this passage here, or using this passage to talk about some other things. Recently, I talked to a number of people that watched the broadcast. I talked to a man, two men yesterday that and one was up in Milton, Florida, and he said that he watches the broadcast every Sunday. Talked to a man here in Pensacola yesterday. Both of these were sales people. He said that he watches the broadcast and that he's been away from the church for a long time and different things, but nevertheless about some things that he sees in the broadcast and things like that. I realize that the popular thing to do today is to just sort of soft soap everybody, blow a lot of smoke, you know, and just take it easy and don't rock the boat and don't say things that will upset other people, but just sort of try to straddle the fence and be all things to all men. But that is not what God Almighty would have. And there are some things that hurt me real bad. It hurts me real bad when I hear that there is some individual, some snake, some devil, some demoniac scoundrel who has come out of a religious system somewhere, still associated with that system, but he gets with you people here or people that we know and tries to convince you that that garbage that he's so full of back there is the thing you ought to be involved in. That bothers me. The Bible said, be ye angry and sin not. And there's a certain kind of anger that is right in this Bible. There should be a cause when that anger comes. You see, I have no respect for the religious system of this world because the religious system of this world trains people today in demoniac power and trains people to be a stumbling block to those that see the truth. You begin to learn things from the Word of God. You begin to see the Word of God rightly divided, and some devil comes up, knocks on your door, you let him in, and he begins to try to convince you that that's not right. Gary was just telling me about a man the other day who is a preacher, and this man knew absolutely nothing after Gary talked to him a while, and finally that fellow who said, well, to Gary said, you must be a hyper dispensationalist. That's it. Ultra dispensationalist. They're always going to put you down. Now, we're to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we're called. To walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called is to walk by faith in the Word of God. God is a God of balance. God is not the author of confusion. Things are balanced in this Bible. They're in total balance. And the Bible said that we're to compare spiritual things with spiritual. We're to balance them out. We're to balance our life against the truth of the Word of God. But you can't balance your daily walk in one accord with Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7 while balancing your life in one accord with Romans through Philemon. You cannot do that. It is a sheer impossibility. You can't sell out everything you've got and lay the proceeds down at the feet of somebody to make distribution to everybody while you retain what you got and lay up for your children. And Paul said you ought to lay up for your children. And yet, in the book of Matthew, he said, lay not up for yourselves treasures on this earth where moth go and this and that and the other, thieves break through and steal. You can't do both of them at the same time. And yet he said, walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we're called. The word walk here has to do with, it is two words that are put together in Greek. They are P-E-R-I-P-A-T-E-O.
The word peri means around or about. On submarines, they have periscopes. A periscope is a thing that comes while the submarine is underwater. It is a scope. It's a sight. And it comes up above the water, and it turns round so that you can see all the way around. The word hectio means to tread. It's like tread down. It's tread them down. Jerusalem is going to be trodden down. It's to walk around. It's to make tracks. In other words, if we're to walk worthy of the vocation, then the worthy walk has to do with our, in other words, it has to do with our walk. It has to do with our treading around. It has to do with our walking around in daily life. In our daily life, then, we are to, spiritually speaking, walk around worthy of the vocation wherewith God Almighty called us. The word worthy here has to do with a pair of scales. For instance, let's just say that this right here are the scales. We got a meter type thing here, a scale. And on the one side over here, we've got the Word of God, rightly divided. On the other side over here, we've got our walk. We're to weigh our walk against the Word of God and balance the scales with our walk. We're to walk around worthy. The word worthy itself is A-X-I-O-S in Greek, and it literally has to do with a pair of scales. It's to weigh everything. Try your daily walk with the Word of God. But listen now, how can my sister and my brothers in the Southern Baptist Convention, who are taught not to rightly divide the Word, how can they possibly weigh their walk against the Word of God? Don't you see the religious system today is ordained by the devil to confuse people and keep them from doing that which is pleasing unto God? There isn't any possible way that my sister up in Alabama there can take the Word of God and weigh her walk against the Word of God, because she doesn't even know how to rightly divide the Word and will not permit me to show her. She thinks I've gone off the deep end somewhere. And most of them, anyway, walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. The word, by the way, this the idea that is presented here is to occupy a territory. Walk worthy. In other words, occupy the territory that you are in worthy of the truth of the Word of God. Weigh what you do. It's just so simple when you think about it. A guy is trying to trade automobiles, and he's going out there and he's looking at these used cars and he's kicking tires, you know, and he's going around tapping on the side of the car to see if it's got Bondo on it and all that kind of business. And what's he doing that for? Well, he's doing that to see if it's worth that which he's being asked for. In other words, there's a certain amount of money that's laying on the line here, and he's weighing the automobile against the money that he's being asked for. He's trying that thing. Well, try your walk with the Word of God. Are you walking worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called? Well, what about the vocation? Turn back in Ephesians and look there for a moment, if you will, please. In Ephesians, look in chapter 2. In chapter 2, verse 11, notice who these people are. Wherefore, remember that you being in time past, Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision of the flesh made by hands, that at that time past, you were without Christ. Why? Being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. In other words, these Ephesians then, at one time, didn't count for anything. In other words, they were outside God's covenants of promise. So I'm going to put on the board up here, and I'm going to say this here, this right here represents Genesis, and in Genesis there, all mankind were the same. We come down to a point over here, and I'm going to say this represents Abraham here. At the time of Abraham, God Almighty selected Abraham out from among all other people, and for a period of time they all ran together here. In other words, the seed of Abraham went down into Egypt and all this kind of business, and were among the Gentiles. And then in Exodus chapter 12, God separated Abraham's seed, left the Gentiles down here. In Exodus chapter 19, Moses went upon Mount Sinai. God Almighty said, Moses, go and tell my people, tell Israel. All right, we'll say that's them up here, the seed of Abraham. He said, go and tell Israel, if you obey my covenants and keep my commandments, you'll be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people of the earth. All the earth is mine. You shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. And he gave them the law. So Israel as a nation was exalted then spiritually and politically above the Gentiles. The Gentiles down here were idol worshippers, but part of these Gentiles down here could leave their position politically and spiritually and come in with Israel by taking the vows of Israel upon themselves or by blessing Israel. God said to Abraham in Genesis 12, I'll bless you and bless your seed after you. I'll bless them that bless you. In other words, if a Gentile down here would bless the seed of Abraham here, God would bless him. But if a Gentile down here cursed the seed of Abraham, God would curse him. So, down through the years, the Gentile nations cursed the seed of Abraham. For instance, the Egyptians cursed the seed of Abraham. They put Pharaoh and the Egyptians, put them under bondage, and God Almighty cursed Egypt. The Assyrian cursed the seed of Abraham, and God cursed the Assyrian. The Babylonian Empire comes along, the Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar took the children of Israel under bondage and cursed the children of Israel, and God cursed the Babylonian nation. If you'll notice, all these nations bit the dust. The Media Persians, they brought trouble and travail upon the children of Israel. The Media Persian Empire fell. Along comes the Grecian Empire. Question mark. I'm not too sure about the Grecian Empire. The Grecian Empire left with us the Greek language. God Almighty never wrote a book in Latin. You ever notice that? God Almighty never wrote Spanish. God Almighty wrote Hebrew and Greek. Isn't that something? God wrote in three ways. He wrote Greek, Hebrew, and English. Some people say, I don't believe that King James Bible. Why don't you believe the King James Bible? They say, well, how about the Spanish-speaking people? These people say, well, why didn't God Almighty print the Bible in Spanish? Because of his foreknowledge. God Almighty, before the foundation of the world, knew what nations would carry the Word of God out and bring revival among the people and whatever, and God foresaw that the English-speaking people were the people that would preach the Word of God, and therefore the King James Bible turned up to be the one that God used. In other words, God took the Greek and the Hebrew and translated it in English. If it would have been Latin-speaking people that would have brought about revival in the world, then the Bible would have been a Latin Bible. But not so, folks. The Latin-speaking people brought They brought apostasy, the Bible is an English Bible. But I go back again. God exalted Israel above the Gentiles, but any Gentile that would join with Israel, God would bless. So we come down, and finally, John the Baptist came to these people, and he preached repentance unto them. He didn't come to these people down here, and they didn't repent. Then Jesus Christ came to these people up here. Jesus Christ didn't come to the Gentiles down there. We're talking Ephesians here now. In other words, these Ephesians at that time were without Christ. Why? They were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. They were strangers from the covenants of promise. They were without hope and without God in the world. And so Jesus Christ preached to these people up here, and he said to the apostles, do not go in the way of the Gentiles, into any city of the Samaritans enter you not, go only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I could change the word there a little bit. I won't change it, biblically speaking, but for right now, Jesus Christ could have said, do not go to the Ephesians, go only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Why? The Ephesians were Gentiles that were in opposition to the seed of Abraham. Therefore, a curse was upon the Ephesians at that time, not a blessing. And so Jesus Christ was rejected by his people, went to Calvary, and Jesus Christ became the curse of Almighty God for the Ephesians over here. Cursed is every man that continueth not in all things written in the book of the law to do them. God said, Abraham, I bless you and your seed. There they are up there. I'll bless them that bless you. Those that blessed the seed of Abraham ended up in the covenant promises. I'll curse them that curse you. Well, the Ephesians cursed the seed of Abraham, and by all rights, God could have snuffed them out. Of that Gentile world that was not in one accord with them, and God could have just as well burned us to a crisp. Instead of burning us to a crisp, he brought the curse upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ died for the sins of these Ephesians, was buried, and God raised him from the dead. God sent his Spirit back, and these Ephesians are sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise, after having believed the truth. They have been placed in the same body with the Apostle Paul and all those that followed the Apostle Paul in the book of Acts. Therefore, they are told to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith they're called. They're members of that same body. The point being, folks, there ain't nobody in this world that is any better off than you are in Christ. You're the same as they. There is no difference with you and them. You're to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. And by the way, it's a spiritual vocation. Now, on I took my scales off from up there. But on the one side, I want you to put our calling there and put our walk on the other. Maybe I better erase the board and put it up here. All right. Let's just say that
this represents my scale here. And on this side is our calling. Over here is our walk. Walk worthy of the calling wherewith God Almighty hath called you. Well. Now, what is your calling? Well, it's a heavenly calling, isn't it? Is it or ain't it? Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. You ain't going to get it. See, the rapture is going to catch us out. We're going to be called out to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. So our calling is a heavenly calling, isn't it? Therefore, we should walk in one accord of that heavenly calling. But wait a minute. Our calling is not only heavenly, it is spiritual. Is it not? Our calling is a spiritual calling. Turn please in your heart. Turn, please, to 2 Corinthians. And notice in 2 Corinthians, chapter 5.
I'm getting my tongue all tangled around my eye teeth so I can't see what I'm saying. In 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, look at verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge, that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we've known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, on and on and on. All right, our calling is a spiritual calling. In other words, we believe in spiritual things, blessed with spiritual blessings. Turn, please, to Galatians. Look in Galatians chapter 3. In Galatians chapter 3, notice in verse 26, Galatians 3:26 says,
For you're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you're all one in Christ Jesus. Well, if there's neither male nor female in Christ, and I'm looking at males and females today, then I can't see you in Christ, can I?
Well, then I can only know whether you're in Christ or not by what I hear you say. In other words, if your testimony is in one accord with the doctrine of salvation, then I know you're in Christ by your testimony, or know you're not in Christ by your testimony, you see. And I can watch how you live day in and day out, and I can't tell whether you're saved or lost. But I can listen to what you say, and then I know whether you're saved or lost.
So our calling is spiritual. Our calling is heavenly. Set your affection on things above. You're dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, which is our life, shall appear, you'll appear with him in glory, on and on. So we're to walk, then, in one accord with our heavenly calling. We're to walk in one accord with our spiritual calling. In other words, we're to weigh our walk, then, against what God Almighty said. We're not to weigh our walk against what the religion said. We're not to weigh our walk against what the church said.
Political element said, we're to weigh our walk against what God said in His Word. It's a spiritual thing. But you know, it gets pretty rough, doesn't it? Turn to Galatians chapter 5. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, always has and always will. The Spirit against the flesh, always has and always will. These are contrary the one to the other, and you can't make them the same. Right? If the flesh is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, in the name of all that's decent, why is it then you let somebody come along with their philosophy and their psychology and whatever and try to convince you that you got to even them up and make them the same? Philosophy won't get it, folks. Everybody's got some form of philosophy. You know what philosophy is, don't you? Philo is love. Sophia, love of wisdom. See, every man right in his own eyes.
Every man's right in his own love of his own wisdom. That won't get the job done. You can't make flesh spirit and spirit flesh. They are contrary the one to the other, and you can't do the things that you would based upon the fact that in this world, you are a physical individual. Humanly speaking, you're a carnal, and the carnal mind is enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God. It cannot be subject to the law of God. Therefore, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But he said, but you are not
in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. All this Tommy Rod about saying, well, I was down at the church the other day and I got in the Spirit and started doing this and that and other. You've got to be joking me. He said that if you're not in the Spirit, you're lost. You better not be able to get in the Spirit and then get out. You're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. And yet the Ephesians, he said in Ephesians chapter 1, they were sealed with the Holy Spirit upon them. So if you're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, then the Spirit of God is in you, but you can't feel it. So how do you know that you're sealed then? Well, you know that you're sealed based upon your being in one accord with the doctrine of salvation, the Word of God. If you're not in one accord with the doctrine of salvation, then you ain't sealed with the Spirit.
See? In other words, if you come to the altar and you try to pray through and you say, well, I'm going to do away with my tobacco, my alcohol, and I'm going to lay my dancing, my card playing, my dominoes and all this kind of stuff down there, and God Almighty going to do this and that and the other for me, and you go away from there, you know, like that, somebody convinces you that's salvation, you repent of your sins, get baptized for remission of sins, and keep commandments and all that, you're just a better lost person on your way to hell. That's all that amounts to. You can't make yourself be something you ain't. You are what you are. The flesh is contrary to the spirit. Spirit against the flesh. Now, verse 18, if you be led of the spirit, you're not out of the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these, adultery.
Doesn't mean you gotta go out and do it. Fornication. Uncleanness. Lasciviousness. Idolatry. Witchcraft. Hatred. Now. See, I bet you everybody in this room, you tried to avoid everything down to that point there. Hatred. I said, well, I don't hate anybody. Okay, then variance. Do you know what variance is? Variance means to vary, beloved. You know what anything is that it varies, don't you? It's different. It's different from the standard. What is the standard? Ephesians chapter 4, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one body, one God, Father of all. Don't you see? In other words, there's only one church, which is the body of Christ, right? Well, then denominationalism is variance, beloved. And variance is of the flesh. Denominationalism is of the flesh. It's not of the spirit.
Variance. Emulations. Emulate something is to copy it. Bunch of lost people today copying Christianity. And the copying turns out to be a cop-out.
They're not emulating very good. Wrath. Strife. You know what strife is. Seditions. In other words, divisions again. Heresies. Envyings. Oh, man. You envy anybody anything?
People always envying something. They say, why? Well, anyway, you know what that is. Murders. Drunkenness. Any of you in this room ever get drunk? I hope you don't now.
Revilings and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, isn't that a rip? So what happened? Some denominational character, some fellow who doesn't even know what he's talking about, comes along and takes these passages here and said, okay then, you can't get into the kingdom of God because that's what you are. Right? Now, some of you are on the limb right now, aren't you? You're not too sure which way to go here. All of a sudden, you found out that if you admit to these things here, you can't get into the kingdom of God. I bet you $50, I'm talking to somebody right now, that you're on the spot right now. You don't know what to do with the passage. You've been taught that anybody that does these things can't go to heaven, and on, they can't be saved. And the passage says, they that do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That is what it said, isn't it? Well, what are these things of? The flesh. Hold on, man. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50. 1 Corinthians 15, 50. Now this I say, brethren, the flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom. Can your flesh get in the kingdom? Well, then God has to change your flesh before you can get there anyway, doesn't he? Say, well then, are you telling me it's all right to go ahead and do those things? No, I am not.
But I am telling you that there ain't nobody in here that isn't caught out with at least one of these things in this passage.
You do not commit adultery or fornication may not kill anybody, but I bet you I'm talking to somebody in here that loses your cool every now and then and get mad at somebody, and there may be somebody that hates somebody's guts, and that's a part of the passage. But the variance, you ever get in arguments? Now, come on, folks. Did any of you in this room ever meet in a room somewhere and sit down and get into a scriptural argument? Is that variance? Is that of the flesh? Well, then you can't get in the kingdom, can you? Say, well, you're splitting hairs. No, I'm reading the verses.
Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Let's try it again. Verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit. The word fruit has to do with that which causes action. See? In other words, the fruit is that which the tree brings forth.
Isn't it? Well, does the flesh bring forth anything that's good? Sure doesn't. We'll quit looking for it then.
I mean, there's some of you probably like some fellow out in an orchard somewhere that's got trees that don't produce, and you're just hunting for some good fruit around there, and there ain't none.
Well, folks, there's bad fruit and there's good fruit, and the flesh can't bring forth good fruit, don't you understand? So quit watching your physical over here and trying to bring it in one accord with the spiritual over here. They won't match up. You'll always end up a discouraged individual. The fruit of the Spirit is love, not the fruit of the flesh. Your flesh doesn't love anybody but you. Your flesh is selfish. It's jealous, it is envious, it's mean, and it's ornery, and you love self, and let's just don't beat around the bush about it. I mean, just come clean and admit that's the way it is. You did from your birth up. The most selfish individual in this world is a baby. Absolutely. A baby don't love anybody except themselves. They love them, their mother. For themselves. Selfish and deceiving. They are. A baby's the biggest liar that ever was. While that little old dude lay there in the crib and just scream his head off, and his mama thinks he's about to die, picks him up, he's lying like a dog. All he wanted to do is her to pick him up. They're selfish. The flesh is bad. And you can't get good fruit from a bad tree. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. People are doing everything to make themselves happy. You know, everybody got to be happy. Television tries to convince you that you ought to be smiling, you know. Go around grinning all the time. You only go around once, you know, do it with gusto and all that kind of business. Be happy. God never told you that the flesh is going to be happy. The flesh isn't going to be happy. God Almighty told you in Genesis chapter 3, He told Adam that by the sweat of your brow, you'll eat bread until you die. Travail. You want to see what life is like? Hold on, man. Turn, please, to Job chapter 14. Job chapter 14. In Job 14, look at verse 1. Job 14, verse 1 says, man that's born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. It fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. Dost thou open mine eyes upon such a one and bringest me into judgment of thee? He's saying, man is so bad, how can he even be brought in the same room for God to judge him? Verse 4, who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. And on and on and on. Man is bad. The flesh is bad. There's no joy in the flesh. I mean, you spend thousands of dollars trying to make yourself happy and still end up in sadness. Why, there's a man, one of the wealthiest people that the world ever knew, old man Rockefeller. Old man Rockefeller just had money that he didn't even know he had. And you know what that old man did? That old man would sit down in a restaurant and eat these little old salads and watch somebody eat a steak with a lot of sauce on it and all that kind of stuff. And he'd say, I'd give everything I own if I could eat something like that. That old man had ulcers that killed him. And of all his wealth, he couldn't sit down and enjoy a meal. Think about that. Why, here I am, Bible-believing child of God, saved in 1955, been studying the Bible all these years, and I can't really and truly sit down and enjoy a bowl of ice cream and chocolate cake without bringing catastrophe upon myself. I was out at the racetrack the other night, and I ate a candy bar and drank a Pepsi. And Gary came up to me and made some sarcastic remark about it. But you know what? Gary, it didn't bother me. That's a strange thing. I mean, I could have done that at home, and the next morning I had a hangover. That's right. I could go home and I could eat a piece of chocolate cake and drink whatever with it, and the next morning I wake up, I mean, I could take my fingers and stick them into the wall. Just on head with a headache just pounding away. But I can eat that, I could eat that candy bar and that racetrack. It never bothered me at all. And the moral of that story is spend your time at it. No, the moral of that story is I was relaxed out there. I was just relaxed. And you know what? People in the world today cannot be relaxed 24 hours a day. They're trying to make a living. They're trying to pay this debt. And they're trying to make enough money to get that. And I want this over there. And I got to have this, you know. I mean, there ain't any joy, folks, in the flood. There's tribulation, travail, misery, heartache, and pain. You know that. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. There's no peace in the flesh. Long-suffering. I never found anybody yet in the flesh with long-suffering. Gentleness. You got to be kidding me. Goodness. The Bible said there's none good, no, not one, right? Faith. Why, there's no faith in the flesh. Meekness. You're joking. Temperance. Against such as no law, now watch it, they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with affection and lust. In other words, he's not saying they that are Christ are not guilty of anything in the context. He's saying they that are Christ have taken that which is of the flesh and accounted it to the cross. They walk in newness of life. Not with a guilt complex, not a guilt trip all day long. They walk believing that their calling is heavenly, their salvation is spiritual, and they have been saved from the penalty of sin. They are now being saved from the power of sin and shall be saved from the presence of sin. Walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. Well, get on with it then. Turn, please, to Philippians. Look in Philippians chapter 3. In Philippians chapter 3, notice in verse 7. But what things were gained to me that I could perform in the flesh, according to the other verses before that? I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss. In other words, this child of God that we got up here now, he counts the fleshly physical things in his daily life, but loss that he may win Christ. In other words, he looks on the spiritual thing. Alright. Verse 8, yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. In other words, you're boasting in your baptisms and repentances and your righteousness and whatever stinks in the nostrils of a holy and a righteous God. You know, like dung. I mean, let's be as vivid as we can be. That's what he said. He said, I've counted them but dung that I may win Christ. Well, then you know what it is when you walk into a house and you see a crucifix hanging on the wall? Dung. It stinks. You know what it is when you go to a hospital and you see these images sitting around on the floor with these names on them and people on their knees doing the sign of the cross and counting beads? It's dung and it stinks in the nostrils of Almighty God. All of the, he said, I've counted but dung that I may win Christ and be found in him. Let's try it again. Verse 9. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness of God, which is by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. You cannot walk worthy of the vocation you're called until you become in one accord with the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, you reckon everything that you are physically, everything that you have physically, everything you could be physically, you reckon that as nothing but dung and hang it to the cross and turn it over to God and leave it there and walk on your way, walking a spiritual walk. Conformable under his death. Put it on the cross and just live. Walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. We're to walk according to our calling. Now, I'm not going to be able to finish this today, Lord willing. We'll come back to this next week, and there are several items that I want to line up down here and match out with your physical walk over here. Will you let's stand and be dismissed with prayer?